The thunder woke me before the alarm did. Not a gentle rumble either, the kind that shakes the window and makes the old wood in this apartment creak in sympathy. I lay there for a minute, listening to the rain hammer the cobblestones outside, and thought, of course it storms on my last full day in Buenos Aires. I've been here 6 days now. 6 days of fog and drizzle and gray skies that never quite commit to clearing. Today the sky is doing something different. It's bruised purple and green, and the wind is pushing the rain sideways in gusts that make the trees in the plaza bend like they're bowing to someone important. It's a proper winter storm, the kind that makes you grateful for thick walls and a full kettle. I made mate first, because that's become the ritual. The same gourd I bought at the San Telmo market on day two, the same bombilla, the same bitter green hit that wakes you up faster than any coffee. Standing at the window, watching the storm, I thought about how quickly routines form. How 6 days can feel like 6 weeks when you're building a life somewhere, not just visiting it. Speaking of building a life, the flat is signed. I put my name on a rental contract in Palermo yesterday, a modest one-bedroom that runs about 600,000 pesos a month, which sounds astronomical until you do the math and realize it's roughly $660. That's the thing about Argentina right now, the thing that's hard to explain to people back home. The numbers are huge, the numbers are dizzying, but the value underneath them is real. A decent flat in a good neighborhood for less than you'd pay for a studio in a mid-sized American city. It doesn't make the inflation anxiety disappear, but it does make the arithmetic feel survivable. Today, though, I'm not thinking about contracts or COL numbers or bank appointments. Today is about the city itself. The storm was supposed to ease by mid-morning, so I decided to spend my last full day doing what I haven't done yet, walking the Micro Centro properly, checking out the book fair that's running this week, and letting the city show me something I haven't seen yet. I headed out around 10, when the rain had softened to that fine, persistent drizzle that Buenos Aires does so well. The cobblestones in San Telmo were slick and dark, reflecting the gray sky like a mirror that forgot to be shiny. I pulled my coat collar up and walked towards Avenida de Mayo, past the old buildings with their wrought iron balconies and their peeling paint that somehow looks deliberate, like the city is a piece of art that refuses to be restored. First stop, the Feria de Editores, the independent publishers' fair that's happening at a venue near the Micro Centro. I mentioned it earlier in the week. It's the 15th edition, I'm told, with over 300 small presses from Latin America and Spain. Entry is free, which in this economy feels like a gift. I spent an hour wandering the tables, smelling that particular smell of new books and damp paper, and I bought two things: a collection of short stories by an Uruguayan writer I'd never heard of, and a pocket edition of Borges, because you can't be in Buenos Aires and not buy Borges. The whole stack cost me about 35,000 pesos, maybe $38, which felt reasonable for the weight of what I was carrying. The book fair is the kind of thing that makes you understand Porteño winter. When the days are short and the sky is low, the city turns inward. Not in a bad way, in a curated way. The milongas are full, the theaters are full, the book fairs are full. Everyone is doing the same thing, finding warmth in rooms full of other people doing quiet, beautiful things. It's a collective winter strategy, and it works. After the fair, I walked up to the Obelisco. I know, it's the most touristy thing in the city, and I've been here 6 days without bothering, but there's something about standing at the base of that 67-meter stone needle in the middle of Avenida 9 de Julio that makes you feel the scale of the place. The avenue is absurdly wide, like 16 lanes of traffic, and the obelisk just stands there in the middle of it, an exclamation point in a city that doesn't need one. I took a photo for my mom, who will pretend she's not worried about me, but definitely is, and then I ducked into a cafe to escape the wind. I found a spot near the window at Cafe Tortoni, which is the oldest cafe in the city and famous for good reason. The interior is all dark wood and old mirrors and marble tables, and the waiters have that particular gravity of men who have served coffee to presidents and poets. I ordered a café con leche, about 4,000 pesos for dollars, and watched the city through the window. The rain had stopped, but the wind was still strong enough that people were leaning into it as they crossed the street, coats flapping, umbrellas inverted, and surrendered. I sat there for an hour, drinking my coffee slowly, feeling the particular pleasure of being inside while the world outside does its weather thing. From there, I took the sub south to San Telmo, to the Malonga at Salon Canning that I'd missed earlier in the week. I know I've talked about tango a lot these past few episodes. The festival season is in full swing. August is apparently the month of tango here, and the big Tango BA Festival Y Mundial is coming up later this month. But I couldn't leave without one more afternoon of watching the dancers. There's something about a Malonga on a rainy afternoon in winter that no amount of describing can really capture. The floor is crowded, everyone dancing in a circle, the bandoneon cutting through the warmth like a knife that knows exactly where it's going.
I didn't dance today.
I just sat and watched, nursing another coffee, letting the music do its thing. The dancers were of every age, a couple in their 70s who moved like they'd been dancing together for 50 years, a pair of women in their 20s who were grinning through the whole dance, a solo man in a suit who danced with an invisible partner in a way that was more confident than most couples. I thought about what one of the teachers had said earlier in the week, that tango isn't a dance, it's a conversation with the floor. Today, watching it, I understood. When the Malonga wound down, I walked back out into the late afternoon. The sky had cleared in that way it only does after a storm. Not blue, exactly, but a pale watery gray that felt lighter than the morning. The wind had dropped. The temperature was holding around 12 or 13 degrees, which in August in Buenos Aires is practically a heat wave. On the walk back towards my neighborhood, I passed through the Plaza de Mayo, and I stopped for a moment at the edge of the plaza. The Casa Rosada was pink and quiet in the fading light, and there was a woman selling empanadas from a cart near the Cabildo. I bought two, about 3,600 pesos for the pair, give or take, and ate them standing up, looking at the presidential palace, thinking about how this square has held so much history. The May Revolution, the Madres de Plaza de Mayo walking their silent circles, protests and celebrations, and everything in between. A city's heart, in the literal sense. I had one last proper meal in me, so I went to a place called Don Álvaro Fonda, a bodegon near San Telmo that I'd been told serves the kind of food that makes you understand why Argentinians are so smug about their cuisine. I ordered beef de chorizo, a steak about 2 fingers thick, cooked to a perfect medium rare, with a side of fries and a glass of Malbec. The whole meal came to about 30,000 pesos, roughly $30, which in any other city in the world would be a bargain, and here felt even better. I ate slowly, savoring it, watching the families at the other tables and the couples on dates, and the old man at the counter who was reading a newspaper and having a glass of wine that he made last the entire meal. This is the rhythm, I thought. This is the draw. After dinner, I walked back through the city in the dark. The streets were quiet, the way they get on a Thursday night when it's still winter and still cold. I passed a corner where someone was playing a bandoneon, just one person standing in a doorway, playing to no one in particular. I stopped and listened for a minute, dropped a few notes into the open case, and kept walking.
He didn't stop playing.
He didn't even look up. It was just part of the city's sound, as natural as the wind. I'm leaving Buenos Aires tomorrow morning, heading northwest, slowly, towards the Sierras and the wine valleys, and eventually the Quebrada de Humahuaca and a cliff-hanging village that I can't quite picture yet. The plan is a slow winter drift through the Andean highlands, the dry cold of the mountains instead of this damp city cold. I'm excited about it. I'm also, honestly, a little sad to be leaving the city so soon after getting here. 6 days is not enough to know Buenos Aires, but it's enough to feel the shape of it, to understand why people fall in love with it, to have 100 small moments that will make me want to come back. So that's the episode. Last full day in the city, a storm, a book fair, a Malonga, a steak, and a bandoneon player in a doorway. Tomorrow, I go northwest.
Come with me. Hasta la próxima.